Well, congregation of our Lord and Saviour, it's a blessing to see a number of visitors amongst us here this morning. And some of you may not be aware that we as a congregation have been changing in composition over the last few years. We've had a number of people coming in to this congregation, and we've been greatly blessed by that. And so there are probably a number of people sitting here today who really don't have a very clear idea on what Cadets and Gems is. So I'm not quite sure what Councillor Jason's planning on saying after the service. I hope I don't steal your thunder. But I'm just going to give us a little bit of a background about Cadets and Gems. It's a scouting type movement for boys and girls aged between 8 and 15, founded in 1952 in the United States of America and introduced here in New Zealand in 1964. The ministry to girls used to be called Calvinettes, after John Calvin, I assume. And it was in 1995 renamed GEMS, which stands for Girls Everywhere Meeting the Saviour. And so during school time, there's a weekly meeting which is held, and the girls and boys complete Bible studies and learn through practical activities. There's a national camp that's held every 3 years where children from around New Zealand, from our churches, come together for fun and fellowship and study. The goal of the Cadets and GEMS movement is this, and I'm reading now from the Constitution, Article 3. The purpose of the movement is the spiritual, mental, social, and physical development of boys and girls through the study of the Word of God and other wholesome activities according to the accepted merit badge program, end quote. And the websites of Reformed churches around the world, when they're describing the Cadets and GEMS ministry, have statements like this, and I quote, "The vision and goal of Cadets and GEMS is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to girls and boys, to nurture them in order that they may accept him as their personal Lord and Savior, and to encourage their growth toward spiritual maturity." I want to put it to you this morning that the Cadets and GEMS ministry is a disciple-making ministry of the church. The Cadets and GEMS movement is very much a disciple-making ministry of the church. It has the same goal. It has the same goal as the scriptures indicate to us is the goal of all disciple-making, and that is, looking at our verse, to present everyone mature in Christ, to present everyone mature in Christ. We're going to look at that under three headings, and I've borrowed from some of the practices of Cadets and GEMS. The first one is line up, the second is roll call, and the third is uniform. So let's look at line up. So those who've been involved in the Cadets and GEMS movement would know that at the beginning of the weekly meeting, the Cadets and GEMS line up. They line up with their counselors in an orderly fashion, we trust, like troops in a military parade, although there's no military background to the Cadets and GEMS movement. We could say that the purpose of making disciples is to prepare people for a lineup. This is what I mean. In our text, the Apostle Paul writes, "Him," that's Christ, "him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may," and here's the word, "present everyone mature in Christ." The word translated present literally means to place beside or near. The idea is to present someone for service under the authority of somebody else. When Jesus was about to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, one of those with him, and you'll recall this, took a sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and who will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" And that word "send me" is the same word "present." "Do you not think that my Father in heaven will present for me for service 12 legions of angels?" That's roughly 60,000 angels presented. What a lineup that would have been. Think of it. Jesus calling on his heavenly Father to prepare, to present before him these troops who would no doubt have been more than able to fully defend him. The point being that Jesus could readily have protected himself, but he did not. He wanted to do his Father's will more than he wished to do his own natural will, which was and would have been to save himself. There was a higher calling. Apostle Paul describes Christ's great work of service this way, and we read that. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled, put together in his body or flesh by his death, in order to, and here's the word again, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So the reason that Jesus went to the cross to die in the place of other people like you and me was so that we could be presented before God holy and blameless, acceptable, righteous. It's as though the head counselor laid down his life for a group of cadets and gems so that he could present them for willing service in a lineup to come in the future. And that word present again is in a tense, which means it's a one-off event and it's looking forward in time to the day when God's people will be presented. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and says, what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Paul's looking forward to that day when there's going to be this great lineup and these people are going to be presented. The people that the Lord was pleased to use Paul to lead to faith, presented. And he's saying, that's going to be my joy to see them. I don't know how your counselors smile when they see you lined up, but I'm sure there's a joy in seeing you lined up and presented, ready for active service. That's kind of the idea. Paul's not saying that he himself is the reason why these Thessalonian believers will be there. No, that's only through the work of Christ that any of us can be presented holy and blameless. However, God, we know, is pleased to use, as he was pleased to use people like Paul, as he is pleased to use the counselors, as he's pleased to use brothers and sisters like us, to point people to Jesus. How are you and I to be involved in this work? Well, those of us who've been here the last couple of weeks hopefully can give a simple answer to that question by proclaiming Christ. That's how we make disciples. We've seen that, by proclaiming Christ. How do we do that? We saw it last week, by warning and teaching others in all wisdom. Interesting also, this word present, it was used in the first century in a different way. It was a legal term used to present someone before a judge or a magistrate, if you will, in a trial or a court of law. And we know from the scripture and we know from the truth of God that there's coming a day when all the descendants of Adam will be lined up before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a big, big gathering. The word of Christ describes it this way. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God, Romans 14:10. And Jesus said, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Are you ready for that day? That day when all people will be lined up and there will be this great separation between sheep, as it were, and goats. Many of you know that I used to farm sheep. We had a small farming operation and it was enjoyable. We used to get the sheep and we'd gather them up and we'd put them in the yards and we'd separate them through the grafting race and we'd drench them and shear them. And they were largely obedient, these sheep, and pleasant to work with. But we also had a neighbor who had some goats and they'd gone feral and they used to cause a huge amount of damage on the property. And sometimes they get mixed in with our sheep. And so we'd get them all into the yards and the goats would turn around in the race and they'd get in the way and their horns would be difficult and they smelt terrible. Who are you going to be on that day? A believing sheep or an unbelieving goat? It's kind of funny, but it's also kind of serious, isn't it? Because that day is coming when there will be that great lineup. And the answer to whether you are a sheep or a goat does not depend on how you smell. It depends on whether you have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Which brings us to our second point. Roll call. A roll call is, and I'm quoting, a reading aloud of an official list of names, those present responding when their name is called out. And so the New Zealand Calvinist Cadet Corps and GEMS Constitution under Article 8 states that each member of the club shall wear a club name tag. Why is that? So that you know that you belong. So that you know that you're part of the club. You're part of the cadets and GEMS here. Now there's a list of all the people who are going to be part of the new heavens and the new earth. But unlike the cadets and GEMS list, which presumably we could find and look up, we don't know exactly whose name is on that list, who will be there at that roll call. That list, called the Book of Life in the Scriptures, has not, as it were, yet been opened for us to see. The list will contain not all the people who have ever lived. Only some will be on that list, those whom God has chosen from before the foundation of the world to dwell with him in the paradise to come. So why, you might say, does our text say, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ? If it's not going to be everybody, it's only going to be some people. Well, you'll likely know the answer to that question if you were listening last week. If you recall, I said everyone does not mean everyone. It means every kind of person. Emphasis in the original text on Jews and Gentiles. One of the blessings of the ministry of cadets and GEMS is it's open not only to girls and boys who are part of this congregation, but it's open to those from outside in the community. There are two kinds of young people present in Cadets and GEMS. There are those who have already come to Christ with saving faith earlier in their lives. They've been converted, their hearts have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and they have a real faith. I'm confident that would be true of some. We trust all, but certainly some who are present here today. They've grown up in the church and been blessed by the proclamation of God's word, this truth which is conveyed from the Bible. And they've grown up knowing the Lord. There are others, potentially, in the Cadets and GEMS movement who have not yet come to Christ. Their hearts at this point in time unregenerate. For those who've grown up in this church, in the community of God's people, the Bible calls them holy. We have a hope based upon God's promises that in the future they will come to Christ. However, that hope is not an absolute assurance, for that would be presumption. As the Word of God is studied during the cadets' evenings, and their meetings and the various activities provide an opportunity for the male counselors and the female counselors to give an example of what it is to be a strong man and a strong woman of God. Christ is proclaimed. Christ is proclaimed. Christ is proclaimed to cadets and GEMS as the warnings of Scripture are issued. So cadets and GEMS, here's one of those warnings. Let me read it to you. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before your hair starts graying and falling out, before your hearing starts going so you can't hear your own children all the time, before your legs and arms start aching. Before that, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Come to the Lord early That's the invitation and the wise exhortation and warning of Scripture. A teaching of the Bible is also conveyed as part of this work of proclaiming Christ, of making disciples, so that young people may receive the pure spiritual milk of the Word, which speaks of Christ. Christ is proclaimed in the Cadets and Gems movement as you observe the character of your counselors. You observe how they portray Christ in their conduct, their disposition, their attitudes towards you. Leaders could well start a Cadets and Gems evening by saying something like this: imitate me as I imitate Christ. That would be a proclamation of Jesus with the aim of making disciples. So I hope you can see that the ministry of Cadets and Gems, the goal of the ministry, is actually the same goal that all of our church ministries have, or certainly should have, that of proclaiming Christ, teaching and warning everyone, with the aim of presenting everyone mature in Christ. We are blessed in this congregation to have a variety of official ministries that various members are involved in and serve in. We also, as I indicated earlier in the prayer, have a number of people in this congregation who are involved individually in a different variety of ways. Outreach to international students, preaching in rest homes, proclaiming Christ to refugees, discipling those in the prison system, inviting friends and neighbors over into the home. All of this work is conducted without any of us knowing precisely and exactly what that final roll call will be like. Like sowers broadcasting the seed over the ground, we are called to proclaim Christ broadly, extensively, so that people are called to come to Him. We do this knowing that God, being rich in mercy, saves people by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, and is pleased, as we've said earlier, to use people like you and me in this work of making disciples. But there's even more to this work than what we've just talked about. Even more to the work of being used of the Lord as His instruments in the conversion of those who are spiritually dead. The Lord uses us to grow people to maturity, and that's our third and final point this morning, which is under the title Uniform. So what's a uniform? A uniform is a distinctive clothing that's worn by members of an organization or body. The Cadets and Gems clearly have a uniform, and you can see that very clearly this morning. And if you don't get a close look now, I believe the Cadets and Gems are going to be serving morning tea to us, so you can have a close look at the uniform. Again, I looked it up just to be clear about it, and I read that the Gems uniform is, and I quote, a dark blue or white jumper or cardigan, plain white top, light blue scarf, gym shoes, neat shoes or sandals, blue skirts, medium to dark blue, jeans or dark blue pants, shorts or skorts. Skorts. I didn't really know what that was, so I went online and had a look. So if you're in the same state of ignorance that I was earlier this week, let me quote. A skort is a pair of shorts with a fabric panel resembling a skirt covering the front, or a skirt with a pair of integral shorts hidden underneath. That's a skort. Do we have any skorts in the club? Oh, we do. Okay, there you go. Well, that's part of the official uniform. An option, anyway. I didn't need to look up the cadet's uniform, because that, from a male perspective, is a lot more straightforward. Hat, cap, grey shirt, blue jean pants, neat shoes, gym shoes, sandals, yellow scarf. All this to say, what is the distinctive uniform of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have a think about it. The distinctive uniform of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. White robes. White robes. That's the uniform that's pictured in the book of Revelation, of those who stand before the throne of God. Their uniforms are clean and pure because they've been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. The fine linen of their garments is bright and pure, and it's described as being the righteous deeds of the saints. This does not clearly mean that those who are there, who are acceptable to God, have been made right because they have done things that are sufficiently meritorious, sufficiently good, that they've earned a right to be there. No, that's not the meaning. However, what it does show us is a life that has been transformed by God's grace results in a person who wants to live for Jesus, who does things that please God because they've been changed from the inside out. And their good works are symbolically represented in that lineup on that day in a uniform which is a white robe. It's pure and it's clean. All disciple making looks to that end goal on that day where the lineup will be there, the roll call will be issued, and everybody will be in the same uniform, white robes. And so that's the goal of disciple making, is to present everyone mature in Christ. The meaning of the word mature, fully grown, complete, perfect. It means becoming completely Christ-like in character, in attitude, and in motivation. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago about the Christian life, and he said to me, "Do I have to stop being who I am?" And I said, "In Christ we remain who we are, but we become more and more the perfect version of ourselves." It's actually one of the amazing things about the gospel, isn't it? That our God does not create an army of robots who are just all exactly the same. In our diversity and our individual personality, God changes us to be different and yet the same in the sense of being Christ-like. Such is the infinite wisdom and glory and power of God's work. We're not called to change people. We're called to grow people. The gardener doesn't force his will upon a pea that it might grow into a rose. No, the gardener carefully tills and cultivates the ground and feeds so that the peas grow to be the peas they were intended to be. The ultimate goal of disciple making is to present someone as the very best, in fact, the perfect version of themselves. I mean, how many people here wouldn't want to be the perfect version of themselves? Hopefully we all would. I'm certainly aware of the imperfections, but to become a perfect version. The theological term for this work of growth is progressive sanctification. Quite a long couple of words, progressive sanctification. Recognizing that we don't reach full maturity in this life, we are not the full and perfect version of ourselves yet. And so commentator S.L. Johnson has written about this goal. The goal of Christian ministry is not simply salvation, although that's extremely important, but ultimately the presentation of the believer before the Father as mature and blameless in Christ. I mean, think about it. If the goal of disciple making was conversion and just that, then there'd be no reason to stay around once we had been saved. There'd be no church on earth. The goal of making disciples is this development of Christian character, of holiness. And we read about that in Colossians chapter 3, and just a few aspects from that. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, a forgiving spirit, wisdom. Notice how these characteristics are the very same as that of God. We sang about it earlier in Psalm 145. They're exactly the same as the characteristics and personality and disposition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should not surprise us, because that's the aim. That's who we were made to be in God's image. That's the character we were designed to have. And what this is all about, this disciple making, is being used of the Lord in this work of restoration and recovery and rebuilding of what has been lost. And one of the signs of spiritual maturity in a disciple is a willingness to go out and make other disciples, to make disciples of the nations. So just speaking to the cadets and gems for a moment. Some of you, I trust and believe, are already in the Lord Jesus Christ. You already have faith. And so part of your work for the Lord is to seek to make disciples of others through what you say and through how you behave, to display this character of Christ that you've been learning about, that we've been learning about, to help others see Jesus in you. Speaking to my wife the other day, and she was talking about a person that she's met, quite a difficult person, doesn't know the Lord, Buddhist, I think. And she made the point, I may be the only person that this lady knows who can present what the character of Christ is. I may be the only one. There's a call for us to be making disciples of everyone, all kinds of people. Not everybody here is called to serve in a ministry of cadets and gems. Not everyone is necessarily called to serve in the disciple-making ministries of this church, but we are all called to be, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, involved in this work that God is doing through us of making disciples, warning everyone and teaching everyone as we proclaim Christ with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And we look forward to that future lineup, to that future roll call, to that uniform, clean and pure. And on that day, you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, will be fully mature in Christ. We will be the very best possible version of ourselves. Oh, I long for that. Do you? Lined up, our names read out from the Book of Life, wearing the white uniform of a child of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.